Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Ksubos Daf Lamed Dalet. We already did actually about two-thirds of the Daf yesterday, Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph. We're learning today Le'ilui Nishmas Blima Feder. All the Nishmas we learned for Shev and Aliyah from our learning. And we begin about 10-15 lines up in the bottom with the words Toveach La'avodas Kochovim. It's 3-4 lines down into the Tosos HaMevashel. So the Gemara begins and tells us Toveach La'avodas Kochovim. If a person went and shechted an animal for a Rechmono Litzlan for Avodah Zorah. So the Gemara tells us, Kivan de shochat be purta, as soon as he does a little bit of the shchita, in other words, he just cuts a little bit into one of the pipes, the two pipes, there's the trachea, which is known as the windpipe, and the esophagus, which is known as the food pipe. So these are the two pipes. In order to do a kosher shchita, you have to shech the majority of both of the pipes. But if a person just went and cut a small amount, as Rashi tells us, in Dibra Masel, Kivin the Shochah Beipurta, so then it's Sarlei, so then the animal becomes forbidden. As the Gemara Chulin tells us, the Omar Mar, Hoysa Behemas Chaveiro Revutso Lifnei Avodas Kochavim, if your friend's behema was bent over in front of an Avodas Kochavim, was crouched down in front of the Avodas Zorah, Kivin Sheshochad Bo Simon Echad, as soon as you go and shecht even one simon, it doesn't even mean the whole simon, as soon as you make any sort of a cut in the behema, so then it becomes usur, it becomes no longer permissible to get hanah from it, becomes now something that was sacrificed for Avodah Zarah. So, kivin the shochah beipurta, it's alei, and therefore, when you finish off the shchita, idach ki kotovach, when you go and cut the rest of the pipes of the behema, and you, quote, finish the shchita, in that situation, lav demare kotovach. At that point in time, it no longer belongs to the original owner, because it became aser in hanah as soon as you started the shchita for the Avodah Zarah, and even though you didn't complete the shchita at that point in time, it's aser. Now, when you complete the shchita, so there isn't going to be a penalty of dalid vehei because it doesn't belong to the original owner at that point in time. As Rashi says in Dibra Maschul, lav demari kotavach, daha itzira alei, as soon as you did the first part of the cut, so then it became aser to the owner. V'chiyuva de tashlume arba v'chamisha, and the chiyuv for when you shecht an animal that you stole to pay the 4 and 5 penalty that we discussed in yesterday's year, which you know, of course, the famous penalty that when you steal something and then you go and either shecht it or you sell it, then you have to pay 4 for a goat or a sheep and 5 times the amount for an ox. So in this din of Tashlumi Arba V'Chamisha, the din only is when you do Tvicha Ksiv Behu. So V'Ad Gemar Shchita Lo Mechayev. Before you actually complete and do what would be a valid Shchita, you're not yet Chayev and Dalad V'Hei. So therefore, Umikame Demote Gomar Shchita Itzra Bihana Abalah. But here in this situation, as we pointed out, as soon as you go and start the Shchita, it becomes also to the owner because now it's Hakrovas Avodah Zarah. And therefore, at this point in time, you're no longer owned, the animal's no longer owned by the original owner. It's considered Asr. And the din of Dalav Hey doesn't apply until the Shchita is completed. Umihai Shaita. If Sidomine, from the moment that you started the Shchita, it's lost to the original owner, the Isa, because even if you want to, Lohadra Be'ena V'lav Demarihi, it can't ever return back to the original owner. So yes, the person is going to be chayv over here for having stolen it, and he'll have to pay back the principal, but it no longer belongs to the original owner, and therefore there is no din of Dalid V'hei. Lav demare kotavach, because you didn't at this point in time shecht something that belongs to the original owner, and therefore there is no din of dalad v'hei. Rava qualifies this, however, and he says, "Omer Rava, but Omer, if you're saying over here bigmar zvicha hu ovda, if you in fact say, however, that I'm not intending to worship this avodah zara by doing the shchita in front of the avodah zara until the conclusion of the shchita, and now you have the din of dalad v'hei applicable because it belongs still to the owner, and the isser of the avodah zara as well as the isser of dalad v'hei, the tashlumim, come at the same time, so then in this situation, there could be dalad v'hei. Again, according to the opinions that we learned previously in the Gemara, where you have that the din of kamlei midirabmei doesn't apply in this situation, so then the din of dalad v'hei would apply, and therefore, if the person says, I'm not intending to do avodah zara over here until the Gemara Shchita, so then at the Gemara Shchita, the Gemara Zvicha, so then the Dalad V'Hei does kick in at that point in time. Gemara says further, Shor HaNiskal, if you have an animal that was supposed to be Niskal, the animal, let's say, killed somebody, and it was paskin that the animal is a bar misa, so the animal, therefore, is going to be killed, and you're not allowed to get any hanah from it, once it's paskin that it should have skila. And therefore, this Shor HaNiskal also doesn't belong to the owner, Lav Didehu de Kotovach. If somebody goes and steals the Shor HaNiskal, and then goes and shachs it, since it's a Shor HaNiskal, it doesn't belong to the owner, and the din of Dalavei only applies if it's the original owner, still his ownership. Here, the Shor HaNiskal doesn't belong to anybody, and therefore it's not considered to be the owner's, and therefore there would be no din of Dalavei, Lav Didei, Hu Dekartavach, because he's not shachting the owner's Shor. It belongs, at this point, to nobody. It's a Shor HaNiskal, it's also by Noah. However, again, we qualify this. Omer Rabba, Rabba says, you know what we're dealing over here, however, you could make it that you be chayiv dalav hey, hoch mayaskinan, kagon shemisaro lishomer. The original owner of the ox, so he gave it over to a shomer to go and watch this ox for him. While the shomer is watching the ox, however, v'hizik b'vei shomer. Under this shomer's supervision, the ox unfortunately went out, gored, killed somebody, and now the din of Shor HaNiskal was paskin v'nigmar dine b'vei shomer. And based in, the witnesses came and they paskin that this was a Shor HaNiskal, all while it's in the possession of the shomer and not in the possession of the owner. So it's all in the shomer's watch over here, literally and figuratively, that this all occurred. And therefore, this ox, which is now passing the Shor HaNiskal, is still alive, and it can be returned to the owner. Now, Uginovo Ganav Bei Shomer, a Ganav comes and steals the Shor HaNiskal. So in this situation, the Rabbi Meir Savalok Rabbi Yaakov, the Savalok of Rabbi Shimon, that there is a din of Dalad Vehei over here. How does that work? Because he holds like these two shittos of Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Shimon, and therefore there's Dalad Vehei over here. Why? How does this work? So the Gemara says as follows. Sava lo k'Rabbi Yaakov, Rav Meir holds like Rav Yaakov. Remember, Rav Meir is of the opinion that there isn't going to be, in this situation, a din of kavanah with the rabbanei. Rav Meir holds it as two different isurim, and therefore you could have both the isur of Shor HaNiskal, and at the same time, you could have dalad v'hei. Now, why is that? Because he holds like Rabbi Yaakov. What does Rav Yaakov hold? The Omar, af mi shenigmar dino, herziro shomer liba'ol of muhsar. Because the bottom line is, this Shor is physically still around. It's been paskin that it has to be Niskal, and it's also Banah. But Rabbi Yaakov says that when the Shomer gives back this ox, this Shor HaNiskal, to the original owner, so he has in fact returned the ox. And therefore, he has fulfilled his obligation as a Shomer to go and return the ox. So that's what Rabbi Yaakov's opinion is. Herziro Shomer Libalab, if this Shomer didn't do such a great job, but if he goes and returns this ox to its original owner, it's considered as if he returned it. And likewise, Rav Meir holds the Sovalok Rabbi Shimon, he holds like the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. What is the Shita of Rabbi Shimon? The Omer, Dover HaGorim LeMamon KeMamon Domi. Even though this Shor HaNiskal has zero value, the bottom line is, according to Rabbi Shimon, if this ox is returned, he has in fact no longer have an obligation to pay for the ox, even though it was under his watch that the ox became a Shor HaNiskal and the ox is now worth zero. But if he returns the ox to the original owner, he has fulfilled his obligation, as Rav Yaakov had said. And since this ox, therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, is considered like Mammon, because if he doesn't return the ox, he's going to have to pay $1,000 for the ox. But when he returns the ox, this ox, while it's worth nothing as a Shor HaNiskal, it is also Banah, but it has value to it in that if he does return it, like Rav Yaakov says that you can, so then it would prevent it from having to pay $1,000. So this is an ox that's called Dover HaGorem LeMamon KeMamon Domi. By returning this ox, which Rav Yaakov says you can do, Rabbi Shimon says he now prevents himself from having to pay $1,000. So therefore, even though the Shor HaNiskal is worth zero, it has status, it has validity to it in terms of the Shomer's point of view that he will not have to pay $1,000 when he returns his ox. So therefore, it is in some way considered that it still is the owner's ox, that it's worth something. And therefore, there is a din of Dalad Vehei in this situation because there is a status to it that it belongs to the original owner. And therefore, it isn't considered that he's not Toveach something that doesn't belong to the original owner. It does have a status, and therefore it is considered didehu dekotovach. And therefore, in this situation, Rav Meir would hold that it is a din of Dalad Vehei. Okay, now we have Rab Omar, Li'olom b'toveach ha'ide atzmo. Now we get back to the Gemara from yesterday. Rebbe's shita is, as we already mentioned today, that you are chayiv for tovach u'mochar if you either shechted or sold the animal on Shabbos, or if the animal was shechted or sold for avodah zarah, that you would still be chayiv the dalad behei. Rebbe's shita is that the two separate penalties, two separate prohibitions, and therefore the din of Isser Shabbos, the Isser of Avodas Kochavim, doesn't prevent you from also having to pay for the Dalad Behei. So we've given different reasons yesterday for why the sheet is true, and Rabbi tells us another reason. Rabbi Mar Liolom B'Toveach Ediatzul, not that he did it via Shaliach, which is how we explained it yesterday, but Rabbi says that even if the thief himself went and shechted the animal on Shabbos or for Avodah Zarah, there still would be a din of Dalad Behei. We don't apply the din of Kom Le Midir Rabbi Minei, even when he himself was the one that shechted it. Why is that? We turn to Lama Dalad on the base. The Gemara says, because Rabbi Meir Lo Ke'u Mishalem Islay. Rabbi Meir does hold, in general, Lo Ke'u Mishalem. As we pointed out, Rabbi Meir's sheet is, it's two separate prohibitions, two separate lavim, and therefore you can give Malkis for one aspect of it, and nevertheless, you can still pay whatever financial damages that you did. You still would have to pay them. We don't apply commonly to the Rabbi Meir coin through Rabbi Meir. And that was for Lo Ke'u Mishalem. But Rabbi Meir in general does hold Meisu Mishalem Lesley. Even Rabbi Meir does hold in general from Kom Le Midir Rabbanei when you have Misa and Mishalem. So if the person is Chayav Misa, so then we do apply, even according to Rabbi Meir, the principle of Kom Le Midir Rabbanei. For a regular financial penalty, he would be exempt. However, Bishayne Hani. But when it comes to a Knas is different. The chiddush who shechitcha Torah b'knas, because the whole concept of a knas is a chiddush. It doesn't necessarily make rational, logical sense that we would have on our own said if you do such an action. For example, if a person goes and assaults a besula, an ara besula, so then there should be a knas. There should be the financial penalties, nezek tzar, ripu, sheves, and boshes. But this idea of a knas is a chiddush, and therefore, when something is a chiddush, we don't apply the principle of Kom Leimid Rabbi Minei. And therefore, Afogab de Miktil, even Rav Meir says, even though Yochayv Misa and every place else for financial penalties, I do apply the principle of Kom Leimid Rabbi Minei by Misa, and Misa, you don't be Mishalem. If Yochayv Misa, I apply principle of Kom Leimid Rabbi Minei, and you're not Mishalem the financial damages that you owe, except for Knas. Afogab de Miktil, by Knas, Mishalem. By Knas, you do go and pay the Knas, even though Yechayiv Misa, and we do not apply Kom Leim the Rabbanei. That's Rabba's understanding of why Rav Meir would say that the Knas you do pay, even though Yechayiv Misa. Now, the Ozdo Rabba L'taimei, Rabba holds the following. His reasoning is as this. The Omer Rabba, Rabba says, Hoyo Gidi Gonuvlo, if a person stole a Gidi, Utuvachu b'Shabbos, and he then went and shechted the Gidi on Shabbos. The Gidi is a goat, the person stole the goat, he shechted it on Shabbos, so if it wasn't Shabbos, everybody would know. This is the regular din of Dalad the Hay. When you go and steal a goat, you chayiv kefil. Now when you go and shechted it, you chayiv four times to pay the value of the goat. But if you shechted it on Shabbos, Rabba says, you chayiv in this situation. Because he stole it before Shabbos, he therefore was already chayiv on the Geneva before Shabbos, Shekvar Nischayev B'Geneva Kodem Shiyovu L'Day Yisr Shabbos. Before he shechted it on Shabbos, he had already stolen it. And therefore, the two Yisurim didn't come at the same time, and this is not a case of Kom Leim the Rabbi Minei, albeit the Dalad Behei part, the Shechita part, was on Shabbos. That was how he was over Isra Shabbos, but there we don't apply Kom Leim the Rabbi Minei, because the Geneva, which was the start of the Dalad Behei, that occurred previously. So in this situation, since you're chayev already for the Geneva, so then the Dalad Behei is attached to the Geneva, which was done previously, and even though you did it at the same time that you mechal Shabbos, that's how you mechal Shabbos, by doing the Shechita on Shabbos, nevertheless, you are chayev in that situation, Dalad Behei. Now, Gonav V'Tovach B'Shabbos Potter, but if you actually stole it and shechted it on Shabbos, some suggest that the actual Geneva occurred while you did the Tvicha. It wasn't yet in your possession, and therefore the actual Geneva and Tvicha occurred simultaneously with the time that you mechal Shabbos. So therefore, it is Kom Leim the Rabbanei and Potter. Because Shim Ein Geneva ein tvicha the ein mechira, because the two are intrinsically connected. If you don't have geneva, so then there is no din of dalid vehe. You can't have a penalty that is only, let's say, 3 times or 4 times. It's only dalid vehe, 4 times or 5 times, respectively, for a goat, sheep versus an ox. But there is no din of 3 times versus 4 times. So if there is no chiv of geneva that occurs over here, so then if you don't have that original chiv, so then you can't have the dalid vehe. So therefore, those go together. And gona v'tavich b'shabbos, then you would in fact be potter. There would be no din of paying dalid vehe in this situation. So clearly you see, according to Rabbah, that if the tvicha was separate from the geneva, so then this is a knas, and you do pay the knas, even though it comes at the same time as the Issur Shabbos. So this is a raya to what we just said about Rav Meir, that he holds that even though normally there is a din of kumlim with Rabbanei, meis, yes, then you chayv misa, but mishalim lesli, then in that situation you're not mishalim because of kumlim with Rabbanei, but it doesn't apply to a knas, as you clearly see from the first part of this statement, where the gneva and the tvicha didn't occur at the same time. Furthermore, Rabbi says, Yom Rabba, hoyo gidi ganav lo utvacho b'machteres. Now here, the din of machteres is a din, a unique din in the Torah as well. Rachmanu l'tzlan, if somebody tunnels into somebody else, machteres is a tunnel. So if somebody tunnels into somebody else, so then there is a presumption that if he is found, he's going to kill the owner. He's trying to sneak in, but if the owner surprises him and catches him, he's going to kill the owner. And therefore, the owner has the halachic right to go and kill this person, because it's as if he is a rodev. He's by definition coming in to steal something and is willing to give up the owner's life. So therefore, the owner is allowed to consider him as a rodev, and the owner is allowed to go and kill him. So this is the din of machteres. So you chayv misa if you're coming in a machteres. And therefore, you would normally have the principle of kom le midirabba minei. So Rabba tells us, Yom Rabba, hoyo gidi ganav lo, if somebody stole this gidi, and then he shechted it utivacho b'machteres. So he stole gidi, and let's say he's on his way out, or at any point in time there in the machteres, he then, after he stole it, he went and shechted it. So in this case also, chayev, there is a case that you'd be chayev dalud vehe. If you stole a goat, you'd be chayev 4 times the value of the goat, because shekvar nischayev b'gneva, because he originally stole the goat, at that point he was chayev for the gneva, kodim shavu l'dei yisa, before the iser of machteres comes into play, where we'd be chayev misa, and therefore we would say komle midirabim nei, but since the gneva already took place, so therefore the tvicha is considered a knas, and the knas does apply in the machteres, even though it should be kom le midirabim nei, because the gneva and the tvicha didn't occur at the same time. Shekvar nischaya b'gneva kod mishavu l'dei yisa machteres, because the two isurim didn't come together, and therefore in this situation, the knas applies even though the tvicha took place while there was the iser of misa on him by being in the machteres. And therefore, this is another example that a knas does apply even though one might have thought it should be kamlei with rabbanei. But if the gneva and the tvicha occurred in the machteres at the same time, so gana v'tovach b'machteres, in that situation, you'll be potter. We would apply the rule of kamlei with rabbanei because of the gneva, because shem ein gneva, ein tvicha v'in mechira, because it's one package. If you don't have the gneva, so then you don't have tvicha v'in mechira. There is no such din of 3 and 4. It's only a din of 4 and 5. There's no din of 2 and 3. There's no din if you don't have the gneva, that you don't have the kefil punishment, then there isn't any din that you just have the tvicha or mechira punishment. So it's all a package. And therefore, if the geneva doesn't apply because of kamlei midirabimnei, so then the tvicha mechira penalty doesn't apply as well. Now, from these two cases, Rabba clearly shows that Rav Meir holds that the knas applies even though one might have thought it should be kamlei midirabimnei. Now, why do you have to give us the two cases? Why do you give us the case of shechting on Shabbos, where the gneva took place before Shabbos, or before the tvicha on Shabbos, and then the tvicha on Shabbos, we said the knas does apply, and we don't apply kumlev the rabbinei, and he had to give us the case of the machteres as well. Aren't they both teaching us the same point, that by a knas, so there is no din of kumlev the rabbinei, according to Rabba's understanding of Rav Meir. So Gemara says, you need both cases over here. You need the case of Shabbos, and you need the case of machteres. Why is that? Because the Yashmin and Shabbos, if Rabbah had only taught us the first case that says that if the tvicha came after the geneva, so the tvicha was the Issur Shabbos that he did, But the gneiva had occurred previously, and we do, in that situation, say, yechayev for the knas. We don't apply kamli mid rabbanei according to Reb Meir. So I would have said, mishum de isura isur olam. That's because Shabbos is a permanent isur. Shabbos isn't a temporary isur. Shabbos is an isur that applies forever. Every minute of Shabbos. Forever. For all time, this isur of tvicha occurs. As Rashi says, in Dibur Maskil, mishum de isura isur olam, kolz man shi'idu olav shechilo Shabbos yamisu. Based in. Whenever this Issur Shabbos occurs, anytime, any place on Shabbos, so then Beis Din will put this person to death. That's why, since this is a permanent Issur, Shabbos is every seventh day. So in that situation, I would have said the Reb Meir holds that Kamli Mi Rabbanei doesn't apply for a Knas because of the Issur of Shabbos being such a Chomer Dika Issur. However, I might have said Avo Machteres, the Isser Shahi, Machteres is a temporary Isser. It only is an Isser Shah, as Rashi says, Ilo Mishkach Lei Hai Shaita Sulo Miktil. If you don't catch the person in the tunnel, so then you catch him a day later, you catch him after he left the tunnel, so then there's no longer presumption he's going to kill you, and therefore he's not Chayav Misa. You don't have the right to go and kill him. And that situation, since it's only an Isser Shah, I might have said, Aim Alau. I would have said that in that situation, maybe, Kamlei Midi Rabbanei would apply, even if it occurred at the same time, because it's not such a big deal. So, therefore, you have to tell me the Chiddush of Machteres. No, so just tell me Machteres, I don't know by Shabbos. No, the Yashmin of Machteres, so just tell me the case of Machteres, so then I would say it should apply to Shabbos as well. No, I wouldn't say that. Mishum, the Machtarto, Zui Hasra also, because going into the Machteres, that's his Hasra. You don't give him any other Hasra. The fact that he enters into the tunnel, he's basically saying, my life or your life. The Ganav, going into the tunnel, is willing to go and kill you. And therefore, he understands that if he is surprised, if he is taken by the owner might kill him. The person who he's trying to steal from has the halachic right to go and kill him. So that's his Hasra. Going into the tunnel is as if he's being formally told, you are now giving up your life, possibly, by entering into this tunnel. So the Machtarto, entering into the tunnel, Zuhi Hasraso. In that situation, we can understand why the Chiyav of Misa would potentially become Lemi the Rabbi Mine. However, in regards to Shabbos, Avul Shabbos, the Bai Hasra, if somebody's Lachal Shabbos, he's not Chayav Misa's based in unless he's warned beforehand by the Edim to say, if you go and do whatever is the Shabbos, you're going to go and shef this animal on Shabbos, you're going to be Chayav Misa. And he says, I'm doing it anyway, and he shefs the animal right then and there. Only then is he Chayav for Hilchot Shabbos. So in a situation where he's not given Hasra, I would have said, you know what? Aim alone. Maybe in this situation, this concept of Kamlei Midi Rabbanei doesn't apply. And therefore, Tzricha. Therefore, you need both cases to teach us the strength of each case to tell us that this Knas does apply, even though normally Kamlei Midi Rabbanei does apply, but in the case of the Knas, we don't apply Kamlei Midi Rabbanei. And you need Rabbi to teach us both of these cases in order to understand fully how strong Rabbi is in terms of this Knas din, that it doesn't get negated by Kamlei Midi Rabbanei, as long as the Tvicha didn't occur at the same time as the Gneva, either in the tunnel or on Shabbos. Rav Papa says further, Amar Rav Papa, Haisa paro genuva lo utvacho b'shabbos. Now, this sounds like it's the exact same case, except he substitutes a cow for a goat. And that's what the Gemara is going to ask in a moment. So Rav Papa tells us, if there was a cow that was stolen at a separate time, and then utvacho b'shabbos, and he shechted it on Shabbos, exactly, seemingly the same case as if you stole a goat, and then you shechted it on Shabbos, chayev. Rav Papa says, here too Yechayev. Rav Meir would say that Yechayev for the dalad, the hay penalty, in this situation would be hay because it's a para, and we don't apply kamlei midi rabbanei according to Rav Meir. You'd be chayev. Why? Shekvar nischayev b'gneva, because the gneva of the cow took place before the shechita on Shabbos, called him shiravu the day is Shabbos. And therefore, as we pointed out, this is just a knas, and Rav Meir doesn't apply kamlei midi rabbanei in regards to a knas. Now, the Gemara is going to ask in a second before we finish off Rapapa's statement. Well, once we finish off Rapapa's statement, right now in the middle of Rapapa's statement, but the Gemara is going to ask in a second, what is he coming to teach us? The din of a goat and then the din of a cow? We wouldn't have known it on our own. So the Gemara will ask that in a second if that's going through your mind. But we have the second part of Rapapa's statement. However, Haisa Paro Sheulalo, if he borrowed a para and then he shechted it on Shabbos, so in that situation, Potter, he would not in fact be Chayev Dalud the hay, because he would be Chayev Misa for Shechting on Shabbos, there was Hasra, and he'd be Chayev Misa, and therefore, in this situation, we do apply the principle of Kom Lemi the Rabba Mineh. So that's what Rav Papa says. So the Gemara starts off and asks, what is Rav Papa's chiddush? What is Rav Papa adding to what Rav already said? And that's why Omalei Rav Acha braid the Rav Ravashi. Rav Acha was the son of Rav, says to Ravashi, Rav Papa, para also lashmiinan? As Rashi points out, Bismia, this is a question, this is a shock. Ma lamadu minenu? What is Rav Papa teaching us? Shalom lamadu migidi, the Kama Rabba. How is he adding on anything? Rabba taught us this din with a goat, and he's teaching us a din with a cow? Why would I think that there's any difference between the two cases? So he doesn't understand what Rav Papa's chiddush is. So of course there is a chiddush over here, and Rav Ashi tells him, "Amalei Rav Papa Shaula also Lashminan." You're right; it's not the first part of Rav Papa's statement that was the chiddush. That was no difference whether it's a goat or a cow. We would know that. The second part, however, was the case of Shaula, the case where he borrowed the cow. And here's a big chiddush, because I would have said, Rav Papa Shaula also Lashminan is teaching us that didn't buy Shaula, a borrowed animal, because I would have said, Sol Kudai Techamina, Hoel Yom Rav Papa. I would have said that since Rav Papa holds, Mishas Mishicha, who the Ischayev Le Bibizon Osea. The din, Rav Papa tells us, is at what point in time is the person who borrows the animal obligated to go and feed that animal? That's for the minute you take the animal away. When you lead it away, b'mashicha, so you take the reins of this animal and you lead it away, at that moment in time, you are obligated in the mazonas for that animal. So I would have said, if you're obligated in the mazonas for the animal, as Rav Papa tells us, that also, hochanami, at that moment in time, mishas she'ela is chayav b'on seha. At that moment in time, you're chayiv for onsin. If anything happens to this animal, so then you're obligated as the shoel to pay for it, with the one exception, of course, being mesa machmas malacha. The one thing that a shoel is not obligated for is that the animal dies while he's using it properly. So then it's not his fault. That's what he borrowed it for. So you can't hold him liable for that. But any other onus, any accident, anything that happens to it, even Gneva Vyaveda, even armed robbers, anything that happens to it, if somebody goes and shafts it, so then he would be chayiv in the payment of it. So I might have thought that that also is an example of where the onsin obligation occurs prior to the tvicha obligation. And therefore, this should be a case of the one who shafts it on Shabbos should be chayiv because the obligations for the shechita occurs after the obligation that he's chayiv to pay for the shechita, which occurs, I might have thought that Rav Papa holds this shechita chayiv the mazonos right away, that you're chayiv in the onsin right away. So the chiddush of Rav Papa is kamash malon, that no, you're not chayiv for the tvicha as a shoel until the tvicha occurs. And the tvicha occurs simultaneously with the chilul Shabbos. And that's the chiddush. Rav Papa says you're potter in that situation because we do apply then because everything occurs simultaneously. And even Rav Meir holds that if the Gneva occurs simultaneously with the Tvicha and Chilul Shabbos, that then there is a din of Kom Lemi Derabba Minei. So that's the Chiddush Rav Papa, that this din applies to a shoal as well. You might have thought that the shoal would be different. You might have thought that the shoal's obligation to pay for the Gneva occurs the moment he leads the animal away. So the Chiddush Rav Papa is no. The Gneva obligation occurs only when the Gneva occurs. He's only liable at the moment that the Gneva occurs, which occurs simultaneously with the Tvicha on Shabbos, and therefore we do apply Kom Lemi D'Rabbane in the second case of Rav Papa. Amar Rava, Rava tells us further, He niach lohen avien parashula. If a father gave over to his children as the Yerusha a borrowed cow. Now, the father had the right to it, he borrowed it, but then the father died. So it comes down to the children as a Yerusha, this borrowed cow. Of course, it's not theirs. It belonged to the person that the father borrowed it from. But they got it as their Yerusha. So, Mishtamshin Bo Koy Meshilasu. So the loan isn't up for another half a year, let's say. They borrowed the cow for a half a year. The father never passed away after 1 month. So they have 5 months still to go use this cow. That's part of the Yerusha, that they have the right to go use this cow till the end of the loan period of time. But, Mesa, if the cow dies, Ein Chayavim Ba'onsa, they're not obligated to pay for that loss, even though normally onsin would be an obligation that the shoel would have to go and pay for. Why not? Rashi explains the Ramas Ein Chayavim Ba'onsa the Inu, because the sons, the inheritors, Lav Shoelin Ninu Allah. They didn't borrow it. So as long as they're not negligent in this situation, they took care of it properly. So even if there's an onus that they normally a shoel would be chayiv for, so then in this situation they would not in fact be chayiv. They weren't the ones that borrowed it. the Mefarshim do point out that when the death of the father occurs, so the owner of the cow has the right to say, I'd like my cow back. I lent it to your father. I didn't lend it to you. If you want to keep on retaining it for the next 5 months, for the rest of the, quote, loan period, I'm happy to let you do so, but then you become borrowers. He has the right to do that. In any event, in this situation, Mesa ain't chayvim yonsa. The children aren't obligated if the cow dies in their possession. Fine. Next scenario, Rava tells us, if they thought kisur shalavini, they didn't realize it was a borrowed cow. They thought it was their father's cow, and they're hungry. Utevachuha v'achalua, so they shecht it, and they go and eat it. They had supper. So then, in that situation, they don't have to pay dalad the hay. They don't even have to pay the one-time principal of this animal, but they do have to pay for the benefit they got. Mishalbim demei basar bezol. They have to go and pay for the benefit they got. Listen, they would have had to pay for supper. So therefore, maybe they would have said, well, we're not going to have steak for supper. We're going to have Cheerios for supper. So you're right. So they have to pay. It would have cost them supper, a certain amount of money. So that's what they have to pay. Mishalmim demei basar bezol. Rashi explains demei basar bezol is a two-thirds amount. Now, Rashi over here doesn't say it as clearly because he says ba'ar bo danki. Now, that's because a zuz, which is six maw, is a danki is a maw. So they have to pay four-sixths of that. They have to pay back four maw of the six maw that are in a zuz. So therefore, they paid at a rate of two-thirds of the value of the meat. So let's say the meat would be worth $100, so they only have to pay $67 for the meat. They only have to pay two-thirds of its value. And the reasoning is, Rashi explains elsewhere, is because a person would be willing to say, listen, I don't really want to have steak tonight, but if you give me a discount, the steak is a third off, so then I would go and have a steak tonight. So therefore, that's what's called Mishalmim de Basa Bezol. They don't have to pay back the full value of it, but they have to pay back the benefit that they got. And if somebody were to offer them steak at one-third off, they only have to pay two-thirds of the amount, so then they would say, sure. And therefore, that's the benefit that they got, and therefore they have to pay back Mishalmim de Basa Bezol. That's because they thought it was their father's. However, hiniach lehem avien achrayus nechasim. But if their father had real estate that he gave them, he gave to them in their inheritance something that has achrayus on it, so then the owner of the cow, the person that they borrowed, the father borrowed it from, would have the right, chayovim l'shalim, he would have the right to go and take the full amount of the cow. The rationale here is when you leave over achrayis nechosim, which Rashi says is karkos, so if you leave over real estate, so then in that situation, that is like a lien on anything that is owed by the father, and therefore the shoel is entitled to collect through this lien on the property, and therefore he can collect. Now, this last statement, hiniach lehem avien achrayis nechosim chayovim l'shalem, so there's a machlokis on whether it went on the first statement or also on the second statement. Did it go on the statement of hiniach lehem avien parah she'ula, and in that situation, they don't have to pay for it, mishtamshim bo koy mei she'ilosa and mei se'en chayv b'onsa, or did it go on the second statement where they went and shechted it themselves? So, ikah demasi la reisha, some say that this statement at the end, that this karka, chayovim l'shalem, goes on the first statement and then certainly on the second statement as well. Ikah demasi la reisha, and others say no, ikah demasi la sefer, it only goes on the sefer with the case of the actual shechita by the sons themselves. In that situation, the karka would take the lien and they would have to pay it back. But it wouldn't go on the reisha where they didn't do anything and mesa by itself. Then they wouldn't be chayv to pay. Let's understand this further. Zumora says, "Man demas de lo areisha." The opinion that says that this statement that this karka it applies even to the reisha. So certainly kosh kena seifa because the reisha was they didn't do anything and yet they'd be chayv if they have karka to go pay back the person that the cow was borrowed from. So certainly in the case where they actively went and shechted it themselves, they would have to pay for it. Opliga the Rav Papa, but this is not in accord with what Rav Papa said. Rav Papa was the one that said that the chiyuv only occurs at the moment of the tvicha and not at the moment of the meshicha. If you remember, we just said this a moment ago, that he holds that the person who borrows it is chayv mazonos at that point in time, as soon as he leads the animal away, but he's not chayv at that point in time for payments. So therefore, the father was never chayv for payment. It's only that the death occurs during the son's possession of it after the father passed away. Only at that point in time does the chiyuv of the tashlumim occur, and the father is not around at that point in time. So therefore, even though he had a lien on his property, that he gave over real estate properties, and it's lien for the father's obligations, the father never had the obligation. So this is an not in accord with Rav Papa, pleading with Rav Papa. But according to the second opinion, the opinion that said it only goes in the case of Tvachua, it doesn't go in the case of Mesa by itself. So then, Al Reisha Lo, it doesn't go in the Reisha, that is perfectly in accord, behind the Rav Papa, that is perfectly in accord with Rav Papa's teaching. And the only reason the Chayv over here is because they were the ones that actively killed it. And therefore, that's why the lien property is used to go and pay off their debt. But not because of the father's borrowing it, this is because they did it. And therefore, in the Reisha, it would be no Chiyuv, exactly like Rav Papa said. Mark continues and tells us, going back overall, looking at the big picture, Bishlam Rav Yochanan, lo mak Reish Lakish, we understand why Rav Yochanan doesn't hold like Reish Lakish's opinion. What is that? In the reconciliation of the Mishnah that we had a few days ago between our Mishnah that said that there is a Knas and the Mishnah Makos that said that there is no Knas, the Mishnah Makos said that there's Loke and there is no Knas when you're going to have relations, Rahman al-Islam, with the Nara Besula. So in that situation, Rabbi Yochanan didn't want to hold like Reish Lakish because the Komokim Loke Rabbanon, because he passing like the Rabbanon. And the principle of Kom Leimi the Rabbimine. So therefore, we understand why Rav Yochanan didn't want to hold like the Das Yochid of Reish Lakish, who held like Rav Meir. So again, Bishlama Rav Yochanan, Lo Amak Reish Lakish, we understand why Rav Yochanan, who held like the Chachamim, the majority opinion, didn't want to say like Reish Lakish, which is the minority opinion, like Rav Meir, to come Okim, Lo Kerabana, because Rav Yochanan holds like the Rabbim. Very good. El Reish Lakish, who holds like Rav Meir, knew my time of Lo Amak Rav Yochanan. Why didn't he want to hold like the majority opinion of the Chachamim? So Amalach Reish Lakish would say, Kivan de ilu asrube potter, kilo asrube nami potter. Because one of the reconciliations was that the Mishnah in our case where you chayev a knas was because you didn't give hasra. And the Mishnah in Malkus was where you gave hasra. So if you gave hasra, then you chayev Malkus and you're not Mishalim. But if you didn't give hasra, so then you can't give Malkus, so then you're Mishalim. So Reish Lakish says, no. Any scenario where in theory you would be chayev, so then even if you didn't get hasra, you're still going to be potter milishalim. So therefore, in our Mishnah, where they didn't give hasra, you, Rav Yochanan, are saying, therefore, that's why you're mishalim. Reish Lakish says, no. Even if you didn't give hasra, you wouldn't be mishalim if you held like that, because when you do give hasra, you're potter. So then, even if you don't give hasra, then you're going to be potter as well. The Azdu L'Tamayu, and each of them holds according to their respective opinions that are said elsewhere. The Chiyosu of Dimi, when Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar, he said as follows, Chayabi Misos Shogigin. Now, Misa Shogigin implies that you killed somebody accidentally, but that's not what it means over here. Rashi says, Misa Shogigin, Dibra Masu Shogigin, is Shalom Hisru Behen. You killed somebody, but you didn't get Hasra. They didn't warn you beforehand. That's what it means, Misas Shogigin. And the Chayave Malkios Shogigin. Again, you did some Isra over here, which would be Chayav Malkus for, you did it intentionally, but you weren't given Hasra. And you also did simultaneously a financial obligation that would have incurred a financial obligation, V'dover Acher. So you killed somebody, and you also ripped their shirt at the same time. You gave somebody a blow for which you Chayav Malkus for, and you also ripped their shirt at the same time. So in this situation, there is no penalty of Misa for killing the guy, no penalty of Malkus for giving the guy his debts, but there is the financial penalty, the dover acher, because you weren't given hasra, so that's why you're not chayev misa and you're not chayev malkius. In that situation, are you chayev for the financial penalty or not? So Rabbi Yochanan Amar, yeah, you're chayev, because we don't give you misa, we don't give you malkius, so therefore there's no coming to the rabbinate, and in fact you'd have to pay the financial penalty. And Reish Lakish disagrees. Reish Lakish Amar, potter. In that situation, you would be potter, because if you had been given Hasra, you would have been potter because of coming with the rabbinate. So the fact that you weren't given Hasra, in any event, that still exempts you from having to pay the financial penalty. The principle of Kamei the Rabbanei applies whether or not you would get the punishment that is the stricter punishment. So even if you didn't get Asra, Reish Lakish says you're potter. And that's why Reish Lakish doesn't want to learn like the Chachamim, he learns like Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan Amar Chayav, the reason why Rav Yochanan says Yechayav is the whole Lo Yisrubei. There is no Kamei the Rabbanei. You don't get Malkis, you don't get Misa, so therefore you pay the financial penalty. Whereas Reish Lakish holds Reish Lakish Amar Potter, even the Ilu Asrubei Potter, Kilo Asrubei Nami Potter, because Reish Lakish holds it's the concept. You would have been Chayev Misa, you would have been Chayev Malkius if they'd given you Asra. So therefore, Kom Leib the Rabbanei applies. And this is going to be true even if they didn't give you Asra and the actual penalty of Misa, the penalty of Malkius, doesn't apply. Now, this sugya continues a little bit more into the next Amud. So let's stop over here. This is a good breakpoint. I'll reiterate this machlokas in Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish tomorrow, but with this we conclude today's shir.